Welcome to Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen. And it is Thursday, April the 25th. And there's so many things going on today that I can best explain it to you this way. There are things that I wrote down that I wanted to talk about today, which seemed like they were last week. That's how many things have transpired today. Just since early this morning, it just keeps on coming. Donald Trump has made this a paradise for somebody that just wants to get on and talk about the news. I can tell you that. And I'm going to start with some of the latest things that have happened, and then I'll backtrack to some different issues later on. In the first place, it's sort of interesting that late today, there's a lot of talk about the fact that Donald Trump and David Pecker have nothing but good things to say about each other. Pecker says he likes Trump. He smiles at Trump. Trump smiles back. They both say that they like each other. But most importantly, Trump says that he likes Pecker. Now, Pecker is destroying Trump. Just, it might be good to understand that. And again, if you're watching your news, you know, on TikTok or somewhere, it's possible that you're getting a slightly different idea of what's happening. But here's what it is in a nutshell. Donald has hidden information about his money, where he spends it, who he's given it to, who he's reimbursed, and why he did that. So that's right off the bat, and that's a problem. It's a misdemeanor in New York law. The reason that he was doing this was to hide election fraud, state election fraud in New York. It is election fraud if you spend money on a campaign in order to get a result, a specific result, and you don't tell who gave you the money. You don't report the money being spent. You don't report the in-kind contribution. None of it. That's election fraud in the state of New York. If you doctor your books, that's the misdemeanor, with the intent of committing election fraud, boom, you go to jail for 4 years. So simple. Now, the problem that Trump has is that David Pecker is outlining step by step how Donald accomplished these crimes. Certainly the election fraud part, and the rest comes from documents within, you know, Trump's organization. So this is a very simple case. The books are cooked to hide where the money has gone. And that is being done in order to commit state election fraud, which makes this a felony, punishable for up to 4 years for each violation. He's got 34, but everybody figures they're not going to put him in jail for 130 years for this. Probably four, maybe two. Okay. Maybe one. Maybe he'll sit in jail for 30 days and then they'll give him probation. I mean, I'm just throwing some things out here that they could do. But again, this is very clear. He's committed the crime that's a misdemeanor by cooking his books. And he did that. I mean, he was spending money on Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal. The Karen McDougal money came from Pecker, which Pecker explains that he did for Trump. And then later he wouldn't do it anymore because he decided he had done enough. And plus he realized, he even admits, he tells all. He says, and he has to. Pecker has to tell everything. Because if he tells anything that's false, then he goes to jail. That's his deal. He's got a deal. The deal is tell the truth. We don't care what the truth is. Just tell the truth, and that'll be enough. And then you don't have to deal with any kind of indictment, anything, nothing. Don't have to worry. So that's what Donald's problem is, that the case is simple, and it's all being carefully outlined by his friend. He says, I like David Pecker. I like him a lot. He's a good friend. Still a good friend. No problem. Now, I don't think there's anybody in the country that doesn't know this. When somebody does something against Donald, Donald comes back against them with everything he's got. He tries to run him over with a Mack truck. He tries to destroy people for less, for much less. So here's a good question. Why is Donald so happy with David Pecker, who is eviscerating him in the courtroom, tearing him up? He's laying out all the information that a jury will need to just step up and convict Donald. The whole case is being established perfectly by Pecker. Not to mention the fact that the prosecution has done a great job of lining this up right from the start. And then here comes the cross-examination. And it's like these people are buddies. They're not coming after Pecker. They're not challenging him. They do not want to fight with Pecker. Now, I don't know anything more than anybody else, but everybody is trying to guess. Why is Trump doing this? Why is he so nice to Pecker? The only answer is Pecker has got something that Trump does not want put on the table. And if nobody asks Pecker, he doesn't have to tell. If they ask, he has to tell the truth. But assuming that nobody knows what this is, and I think this makes sense, then this is probably the exact direction that the case is going. Donald's being destroyed. The case is being made. The very simple details of a misdemeanor involving the cookbooks, with the books being cooked in order to commit the further crime of election fraud. There it is. And Pecker has laid this out on the table for the prosecution. And if you're the jury and you're not thinking through all of this in terms of, you know, what's Pecker hiding and all the rest of that. And they might be, and that would be worse. But let's assume they're not. So this information is on the table, and the jury looks at it, and they say, it's a pretty credible witness, because look, not only is the guy told exactly what they did, things which were illegal for Pecker as well, but of course Pecker has a deal. However, Trump is not even arguing. Trump is not jumping up and down saying things about Pecker. He's saying things about everybody else, attacking the court, attacking the witnesses, not Pecker, attacking the jury. And then that brings us to the next question. What in the heck is Judge Mershon doing? Why isn't he announcing the details of what they're going to do about these gag order violations? I mean, I've been thinking all day about this. I've been listening all day to hear, thinking that maybe somewhere, you know, there was some kind of a story about what Mershon was saying about the gag order. And honestly, I have not been able to find one thing. And I've listened and read all day long. Not a word. I mean, I'm just flipping through right now. I don't see a thing on it now. Nothing. Harvey Weinstein's conviction is overturned. Interesting. But anyway, forget that. I'm just saying we don't have anything. Zero on the gag order. They had a hearing on Tuesday. This all was brought up on Friday. The judge originally said, I'll tell you after lunch. After lunch, he said, give me a minute. I'll come up with something for you. And he still hasn't done it. What's he up to? You know he's up to something. I would guess that the judge is just waiting around to see how many more times Donald will violate the gag order. I've talked to all kinds of people about this, and everybody is 100% sure that Donald will not get any jail time. But, you know, I sort of think, I could be wrong, sure, but I sort of think that he may be, Mershon, he may be just sitting back on this and waiting to see how many times Donald will violate the order and then step in and really slam him. Or he's just trying to turn down the heat. Could be any of it. He could give Donald one day just to say, look, what you're going through now is what you could go through 30 times this if you mess with me. I just have a feeling he's going to be tough. But we're going to find out. But we certainly don't know yet. So that's another point to all of this. Now, there's another thing that happened today. And I'll tell you, that's one thing about these days of Donald Trump. He is providing us with the greatest civics lesson of all time. What not to do and what the system really is. And even all about newspapers and the media. I mean, everything. I talked at length about this yesterday, but I think it's important to note again that all of Donald Trump's talk about fake news, and it all turned out that he is the fake news. All of the things that they did at the National Enquirer, all the things that they concocted that were lies, none of that would ever be done by mainstream media. Newspapers wouldn't do it. The TV stations wouldn't do it. Nobody would do it. Not if you're in a real news organization, which that's the irony. That Donald wasn't dealing with a real news organization. He was dealing with the National Enquirer, which I realize a lot of people wouldn't know that that's the magazine that talks about what the Martians are doing that sits on the counter as you walk out of the grocery store. There are a lot of people who wouldn't know that. But there's just no question. The National Enquirer is not a newspaper. It's not a magazine. It's something. It's a bunch of words on paper. I don't know. Maybe it's as credible as TikTok. There you go. That might be. But the truth is, that's Donald's news. That's Donald putting out a story. That's Donald and fake news. That's Donald. It's fake news. All of this talk since 2016, and it turns out that every bit of it was Donald. He was projecting himself to the public. And by the way, that's no surprise either, because Mary Trump has been saying that since the day that she came onto the news scene and started commenting on what Donald is doing. So this is all pretty simple. Simple case. Donald's in trouble. Pecker has nailed him. And the people who are on Donald's side are basically getting fake news and have no idea what's actually happening here. But in 2 to 3 or 4 weeks, everybody's going to get the shock of a lifetime, because this case is so easy to follow for the jury that they're going to find this guy guilty. And the judge is going to sentence him to some time in jail. Some. I don't know how much. I really don't care. If it's a day, it's enough. If it's a day plus probation, that would be enough. Just put him in jail. That guy has got to walk into a jail. Just has to do it. And honestly, if you think that Donald is gaining momentum politically from all of these things that are happening, well, you're just in denial. Totally. And I can't prove it until November of this year. But we'll prove it then. And actually, I'm going to have some really cool information for you as we move along, because we are setting up sort of an election headquarter with students, and they've got big, giant maps that are laminated so that they can write on them with dry erase marker. And state by state, the students are evaluating both the polls and any other input that they can get in order to have a good idea of where the election's going to be by the time we get to the first week of November. And I think it's going to be really great for us to take a look at what the students actually come up with by doing this over a 12-week period, which will be from about August till November of this year. So that's sort of a fun thing, and we'll have some students come on and talk about what they've done, the methodology that they've used, a little Joe Biden talk there, the methodology that they've used. And so, yeah, that'll be great. We'll talk all about how we figured out who's going to win this election, but it's going to be Joe Biden because Donald is crashing and burning as we speak. And the polls are showing it. Brand new poll out, one of the credible ones, and they show Donald Trump ahead by 5 points, including all the third party people. That includes RFK, Jill Stein, everybody, Cornel West, the whole bunch of them. They're all in there, and Donald loses by 5 percentage points. Of course, it still comes down to individual states, and that's why we're doing this little thing that we're doing with the map. We're going to follow the map state by state, and we're going to see what we come up with, and that should be a lot of fun. Speaking of a different state, and this seems like, you know, years ago, but Arizona has indicted a bunch of people. They've indicted people who are old friends of Trump. Gee, what a surprise. Do you know how many people who are friends of Trump have ended up in jail? I mean, do you have any guess what that number is? It is a big number. I don't have it here. I'm not going to say something that I don't know. But the number's big. It really is. I mean, it's not five and it's not 10. It's a big number. And now there are 11 electors who have been indicted, along with Mark Meadows and Rudy Giuliani and several other people whose names have been redacted. But don't worry, because even though we can't see the names, we've got a description of who they are, and we know who they are. So it is Meadows and Giuliani and Eastman. That's a good one. Do you know that Eastman had been hired to be in charge of election integrity in Arizona? How is that possible? Election integrity. Now he's under indictment for exactly what he was supposed to be protecting against. People messing with election integrity. So you got this big indictment in Arizona. And initially, a lot of people were a little upset because Donald was not indicted. Donald was listed only as an unindicted co-conspirator. But, you know, there's so many great lawyers out here that are telling the story. And here's the story. It's a good one. With all of the people that have been indicted, the authorities in Arizona are figuring that there is some room to get some people to flip. And if they can get the right people to flip with really strong evidence against Donald, then they can step in and indict Donald and give the other people special deals so that they can walk away. Believe me, Donald is in a lot more trouble than even it appears right now on the surface, where he's got 88 indictments, felony indictments, sitting on the table. And the only thing that's sort of good for him is he hasn't had to go to jail. Because, you know, anybody else that did these things and had these felony indictments charged, they'd be in jail. They'd be in jail. And then again, here's Donald with his New York case, the fraud case. And isn't it interesting? They seem to come up with a deal on that bond, the $450 million bond, which is now down to $175 million. And the thing about it is he's got a fake company, you know, Knight Specialty Insurance. I love that name. I'm sure they have a heck of a specialty. One thing that they specialize in, you take their net worth, and it's not enough to cover the bond, I can tell you that. Now, there's some story about money that was put up that would cover the bond. But I'm warning you of this, and I have no evidence at all, but I'm warning you. Every time Donald says, this is the way it is, we find out later he's lying. And in this case, Letitia James jumped up and said, the man's lying, it's fraud, they didn't tell the truth. Invalidate the bond and let us seize the property. And the state courts in New York said no. Nope. Here's a deal. They cut a deal, and it appears to be okay for now for Donald. But if you are sure that it's really okay, I'd like to know where you got that information, because I can promise you that every time Donald says something, you know, he tells you a story about here's what's going on, here's how it works. It's never true. It's already been not true with the bond. We've already found out that he lied, because Hanke knew that he was committing to a $450 million bond, and Donald lied to the court and said, well, see, he didn't lie. He went to the court and he said, I tried 30 different people and they all said no. But what he didn't tell the court is that he tried 31 and number 31 said yes. Didn't tell him that. The court's not stupid, and that is technically a lie. It's not okay to play that game. But the court said, we're going to let it go right now. Maybe they'll let it go all the way to the end. I don't know. But I know this. That Donald, who claims that he's not worried about anything because he's just going to step up and have all the cases reversed, well, didn't work out like that in New York with E. Jean Carroll, because Judge Kaplan today ruled that Donald cannot overthrow the case. He can't throw it out. It's done. Now, I don't know if there's another appeal on it. Maybe there is. I don't know. Maybe he can go to the Supreme Court. But the state of New York has said no. They denied his appeal. So that part already is done. By the time we get through with this, wait till you see how done this man is. Because he is done. Am I sure? Absolutely. I'm 100% sure. Do I have evidence? Yeah, I've got some evidence. I've already talked about it today. Thanks to David Pecker, we all have the evidence nicely laid out in front of us. I just want to know the other shoe when it comes to Pecker. I want to know what Pecker really knows that he's not telling us. That's what I want to know. That one's got to be great. And by the way, we're going to find out. I mean, if Donald is found guilty and goes to jail for 4 years, and they still don't reveal, or Pecker doesn't reveal what he knows about Donald, it might take 5 more years or 10 more years, whatever. We will get the story on Pecker and Trump. It might be sooner, it might be later, but it's coming. Now, you can see a sign up on the TV right in front of you. It says, call now. And you can. You can call me at 314-471-1968. That's 314-471-1968. I would love to talk to you about what's going on today. There are so many things. You got the Arizona indictment. You've got the appeal on the E. Jean Carroll case that has now been lost, at least as far as with Judge Kaplan is concerned. You've got Pecker laying out all this information in the court that is so easy for the jury to understand. It's perfect. You got Donald Trump in serious trouble, and they still haven't even dealt with the gag order yet. But they will. And it's not going to be good. The longer he waits, Mershon, the longer Mershon waits, the more that I believe that Donald is in serious trouble over the gag order. And he should be. He's broken the gag order at every turn. And then they gave that idiotic story to the court about he didn't mean it. He didn't know what he was posting. He didn't say he was delirious. He just said that he was so busy that he couldn't read everything that he actually posted. So that he posted things which just happened to violate the gag order, but he didn't know that. He just threw them online. I heard him say that these things were so complicated that he put online that it was like reading a novel. It was too much for him. He couldn't do it. He couldn't handle it. So since he couldn't handle it all, inadvertently, he violated the gag order. Now, remember what Donald's facing, having said that. He's facing a judge who told his lawyers that based on this story, that they had lost every bit of credibility with the court. So he's got a little problem. Now you, on the other hand, don't have any problem because I can solve three of your problems right now. The first one is, what are you going to do for dinner? Well, you can go to Wendy's, and that's at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road. It's in Chesterfield Valley, and you will find that the food there is excellent. They've got wings. They've got smoked meats. They've got baby back ribs, which I love the baby back ribs. I love them. They're good. I also love the onion rings. They got some calories, but they are terrific. I mean, you cannot understate the greatness. It's great. Those onion rings are terrific. Okay. In addition, you've got Ben. Ben is great. The restaurant is just excellent. The food is perfect. And the environment is just outstanding because Ben makes sure that it is. And like I always say, if you want to go there and buy dinner, you can end up with dinner and a friend, you know, in case nobody wants to talk to you because you only support Donald Trump, something like that. Well, you can go get yourself a friend. There you go. That's Wendy's, 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road in the Valley. Enjoy your food at Wendy's. Now, if you're looking for jewelry, well, you can find that with Al. Al is on Hampton. He's Jewels on Hampton. And here's the deal. They design jewelry. And you go through that store and you can see all of the designs that they have put out there, things that they have put together. They're very talented. They're really excellent. Now, in addition to that, you may have coins. You can buy and sell coins at Jewels on Hampton. Buy and sell jewelry. If you've got jewelry that you want to sell them and you want to buy other new designs, if you want to redesign something that you've already got, they can take care of that for you. If you've got a great old watch like I do, I mean, I look at my watch It looks great. It's a gold Seiko watch. I got 45 years ago. It looks great, and now it works great. So you can have your watches fixed at Jewels on Hampton. They're just a great place, a great resource when it comes to jewelry. So just go to 4506 Hampton in St. Louis, and they'll be right there. Al and his son AJ at Jewels on Hampton. And finally, the suits. Now, I'm not talking about the people. I'm talking about just the suits. You can get great suits, great prices, beautiful ties. You know, all you got to do is take a look at what I'm wearing today. Got a suit, and I don't even know what, I mean, this is some shade of blue, and there could be some purple in there. I can't swear, but I know this. It was set up for me by the people at the St. Louis Suit Company. So I just follow what they tell me, and then I look fine. It's the St. Louis Suit Company on Forsyth and Central in Clayton, and the suits are great. The ties are unbelievable at $5. And I don't just go along with what they tell me just because I feel like it. I mean, I do it because I'm colorblind and I have no idea what matches. But they know everything. I say they. Jay and Nick and the rest of the family are all there. The St. Louis Suit Company, check them out. Forsyth and Central in Clayton, they are outstanding. Great clothing store in Clayton. Okay. You know, there's still a whole bunch of other things that I can talk about. And so I'll tell you, you know what I'm going to do? I think I'm going to back up a second and talk a little bit of economics. Not too much, but just a little. You know, about 3 weeks ago, I talked about interest rates going up. And they had been creeping up, and they have continued to creep up. They're moving higher. Now, I'm not saying that they're going to move higher. I'm just telling you what they're doing. And it's funny because, and I've followed this all my life, but the stories that are being told have to do with the Federal Reserve getting ready to lower the rates. But the rates are going up. And if you actually go out and get a copy of the Wall Street Journal from 2 days ago, they had an article on the front page where the housing mortgage rates had inched back up to 7%. And that's high. It's a lot of money. You know, between 2% and 7%, if you're talking about a $100,000 house, I mean, you're talking about the difference between $200 a month and $700 a month. Now, I understand, you know, $100,000 mortgage is nothing. So, you know, maybe a $400,000 mortgage at 2%, that's $800. At 7%, it's $2,800. Okay, now that, let's just check here. Well, I don't know if I trust that. Are you able to check this call?
It's good.
This is a good one?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello, Mark. It's Greg. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing great, Greg. I didn't recognize the number, and I just wasn't sure which phone. And the other day, I let somebody in that didn't want to get on the air. So anyway, terrific. I'm glad you're here. Talk to me.
What do you want to talk about? Financials?
Well, I'm talking about interest rates right now and how they're creeping up. And I also don't know if you saw this, but there have been some pretty wild moves in the market the last couple of days. Yesterday, Amazon and Facebook, which is Meta, got slammed. And also NVIDIA and a couple of other things. And then today after the close, Alphabet, which is Google, was up $21, which is a pretty good move at 157. Now it's 178. Then Amazon turned around and ran back $6 back to the upside. And the S&P was up 4 points or 400 equivalent on the Dow after the close. So there have been some big moves after the close. A lot of this has to do with earnings. And yet we're still sort of developing a little bit of a downtrend in the last maybe 3 or 4 weeks. Not big, but a little. And those interest rates are creeping up. So what do you think?
Well, you're right. The quarterly earnings have came through this month. Tomorrow is Charter Spectrum. The third or the second is Apple. And both are expected to take big losses. Why? Because, yeah, the interest rate's going up. Why is the interest rate going up? Because the feds are not lowering the interest rate because they're afraid of shrinkflation.
Okay, but wait 1 second now. You said the rates are going up because of something the Fed is not doing. But
exactly.
But the Fed is clearly telling people that they're getting ready to lower rates. So why would those rates be going up if it had anything to do with the Fed? Because that's my only argument to you. I don't think it has anything to do with the Fed. I think that the rates are just creeping up because the market is taking a look at what's going on and worries that
allows it.
Yeah.
I agree to a point, but okay. Mainly the Fed, this federal market and all the stock markets and all that is always subject to opinion. And that's the biggest problem. You get one little bad thing and the whole market goes to shit.
Okay. As I say to my brother, and I realize it's allowed, but I'd watch the language here, but
yes, sir.
Yeah, no, that's all right. But let me say this. That's how markets have always worked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's capitalism. It's capitalism, and you just got to be alert. That's all.
Yes, yes. I daily watch my stocks and my investments. You know, I piddled when I was younger. I piddle when I'm older with it. And, I'm doing fairly good. I'm actually doing better on the downturns than the stocks going up. Sell it at the high when I know there's something bad coming and the stock market goes down, and then I buy it back at a lower rate.
Yeah. Well, just think, if you were Joe Kennedy, you could become a multimillionaire, because that's what he did, is he sold short in 1929 and it changed the entire face of the Kennedy family.
Oh, yeah.
So you could
money talks.
You could do it. Yeah.
You know, and I do play with a fake account just for fun. We all have our own fake accounts just for fun. Over 80 times on my stock market when I was just playing.
Yeah,
the investment in 7 years.
It's a little easier.
Things, but you don't have the guts to do it in reality.
Well, I was just going to say, it's a little easier to play.
Exactly. Yeah. I play it safe on the regular, but with the fake or the pseudo stock market, I've done pretty damn good for just that. But
so are you good at in a panic stepping in and buying? Are you good at that?
Actually, I'm better at selling. When the COVID hit and we saw that coming a little bit, like 2 weeks behind, I told my mother-in-law to take all her money out and put it in a safe account. She did, and that stock market, you remember, dropped for like 3 weeks, 10,000 points.
Oh, I remember it well. 40%.
I saw that coming and saved her ass, or I'm sorry, her tail that time with that. Not the one back in 2008, but this time it did. But it's all subject to all the, the talk, the whatever you call it, the investment for that year. Like Charter, they are going down because everybody's switching from all in one to bits and bits of shows or networks or whatever you want to call it, like Pluto and ABC, NBC, Peacock, all those ones. So they're losing the money. You got to watch those things. And there's greedy jerks out there that screw everybody over. You know that too.
Yeah, I do know that very well, because actually for a number of years, I worked with a law firm in town, and we sued stockbrokers who ripped off their clients. And I was the expert witness, because I've been doing this since I was 14 years old, which is kind of crazy, but I have. But
I understand. I've been doing it since high school myself.
Yeah.
Actually, the third in the state back in the day, back in, 40 years ago, when the stock market was on the newspaper.
Wait, what's a newspaper?
Exactly.
Yeah.
What's a rotary phone, right?
Yeah. But we definitely know what a fake newspaper is, because that's Donald.
Well, you know,
I knew I'd get a hesitation there.
Well, let me put it to you this way.
Yeah.
I am a non-democratic, non-Republican, non-independent person. I picked the best one that I think's for the job. Honestly, I voted for Obama. I thought he was the best for the job. I voted for Bush when I thought he was the better for the job at the time. I think Trump is a braggadocious, arrogant ass jerk, but he's a typical businessman. And when they do all this stuff, he's of the era. Now, I'm not making excuses, but he is from that era of businessmen, businesswomen, business people that went out for the martini, went to the hotels, grabbed butts, went to strip clubs, all that era. You know, if we showed Blazing Saddles on regular TV, you'd get 7 minutes of it, and that's it. And that's what Trump is. But to me, he's the better choice.
Yeah.
I mean, no offense to Joe, but he, even if he'd made everything right, he is not up for this for 4 more years. He's falling asleep at the podium. He's reading the teleprompter off. You know, he goes, 4 more years. Pause.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing, Greg.
Give me a better choice than Trump or Biden.
Yeah, here's the thing. Biden is old. He can barely walk. Right?
Right.
Okay.
Agreed.
Yeah, I mean, that's, of course, Roosevelt couldn't stand up at all. So, you know, that's not exactly a criteria. But on the other hand, I mean, he does look horrible. He's struggling.
Yeah.
But now listen. Look at the people he has working for him, from Anthony Blinken to all the way through his government. These are young people who know what's going on. They're very accomplished. They have done an excellent job of keeping us out of war. You know, Putin today.
Yeah, we're doing a great job at that. Biden's putting us into a war with Iraq or Iran, with Hamas, and with Russia. He's doing a real great job. The money is being spent on them instead of the border. You know, they're going to be taking up more space and more jobs for illegals.
So I guess you forgot that Trump had a deal on the border, and that Trump said, kill the deal, because the border needs to be something that I can use to run against Biden. I mean, does that matter to you?
Of course. I'd tell him the same thing. I'd say, let the border fall the shit, or sorry, fall the crap right now, because we want Trump wants Biden to fail. Yeah, I can see both sides of it. I see both sides, but I will always look, and it sounds like a cop out, but I always sit on the top of the fence first before I make a decision on the either or.
How will you feel if the jury comes back and says guilty, and the judge says 4 years in jail?
I say put them in jail. If it's proven and the legal system has done their job the right way, which is, you know, we could get into another hour subject about the legal system, you know, letting out murderers after 7 years. But yes, I would accept that. Like I said, I stand on the fence until I decide what gives me the answer that I see. So if they got that proof there that he did this and did that, you know, if he's got pictures of E. Jean Carroll, all those crazy things, yeah, put him in jail.
Okay, but let me ask you this. If he goes to jail, will you vote for him?
No.
Oh, okay. So you'll vote for Joe Biden?
No.
Oh, okay. I didn't think so.
I don't know who I'll vote for. I'll decide that when the time comes. I'll be honest, too. If Joe Biden would have ran against Trump back in 2016, I might have had a harder decision to make. Might have.
What about this one? What if Joe Biden wins, and let's say he wins by, I think it's going to be a pretty good margin. So then my question is this. Trump says it's a rigged election and I won by a landslide. Are you going to believe him?
No, I'm going to say prove it.
Well, he's not going to prove it.
I don't believe that there was total mishandling of the election. I think that they left open a suspicious situation with doing the mail-in ballots. And let's be honest, the political system has never been honest.
Yeah, mail-in ballots, by the way, are routine.
I work for the election board.
You realize that Trump voted with a mail-in ballot, right? He did.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, he did.
All the tax laws remember when Hillary was talking about all those tax laws about cutting them out, and he says, hey, you guys use them, all your friends use them, I'm going to use them too. That's the double standard that we're facing. But I would support Trump going to jail. I would support it proven that, you know, somebody goes in Trump's place, but I will not vote until I decide who's the better choice.
How about this one?
Then I don't know.
How about this one, Greg? If tomorrow the judge puts Donald in jail for a day, because he says Donald's in contempt for threatening witnesses, intimidating jurors, just in general, violating the gag order at least 10 or 11 times. Is that okay?
Lock him up.
Okay.
If he breaks the rules, lock him up. If my kid were to do something stupid or wrong, he'd be grounded.
Okay, so I'm just asking why you'd vote for a guy, because you know he's done it. You know he's violated the gag order. You know that he's intimidating witnesses. And the funny thing is, look at what he's doing with his buddy Pecker. With Pecker, he won't say anything bad because there's probably something that Pecker could say and Donald's trying to stop it. Has Donald ever given anybody a break?
No, and they shouldn't. I mean, you know, like you said, Pecker and Avenatti and Cohen, they're all trying to save their butts. You know, when Trump gives the image that he's a jerk and a braggadocious, whatever you want to call it, they're going to use that to their advantage to save their butts, you know?
So I'm just wondering why you'd want a president that acts like that.
No, I support him right now as the leading candidate, but I could change that in 5 minutes if the things go the way they might go. You know, he might go to jail, so now I have another choice. But
okay. How about this one? I love to ask questions. Okay, are you married?
22 years happily.
Okay, so you got a wife. You got a daughter?
No, I have two boys.
Okay, but are they married?
No, one is divorced and one is just starting off at life at 22.
Okay, so maybe someday they'll both be married. Here's my point. You could have a lot of women in your family, and I'm not talking about abortion. Here's what I'm interested in. You know that women all over this country are in danger because doctors are now afraid to perform very normal kinds of health care on women because somebody might accuse them of trying to perform an abortion. Are you concerned that Donald is right behind all of that?
Well, ask me my opinion on abortion.
Well, no, because I don't care about abortion. I want to know what we're going to do to protect women. That's what I want to know.
Well, that's the first part, abortion. You know, I personally do not believe in abortion. Otherwise, my youngest son wouldn't be around. But I do believe in a person's right to make that choice at a certain point. Be it, like they say, incest and all those others, there should be a legal limit. because one, we don't know how that person's going to turn out after they're born. You know, incestuous, you never know what's going to happen with that.
Okay, but you see, what I'm trying to get at is I want to forget that. I don't even want to talk about that. What I want to talk about is what are we going to do to protect women? Because our country, which is in every other respect, I mean, we're the greatest country of the world. I mean, we are
unbelievable.
Well, yeah, we are.
No, we're not.
Well,
Grant, no, we're not. We
you're wrong. We're very wealthy. We're very wealthy. We've got more jobs coming in than any other country in the world.
And our GDP is in the hole.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is. Look it up.
I know what. No, I know what it
is. Brazil is beating us.
Who? Who is beating us?
China.
No. China's got. Wait. China's got a GDP of about 16 trillion, and ours is like almost 30 trillion. It's not even close. It's not even close. Really, look it up. It's not even close.
No, it is off, and you know that as well as I do.
No, Greg, I really don't.
This is a great country. I will say it's a great country, but it's not the great country it used to be. It's allowing the things to happen. It's allowing people influence our children with some of these indoctrinations of violence, protest, transgenderism, things like that. We are not the country we used to be. Yeah. We can be, and we should be.
Well, I'll say one thing about that. How about listen to this one? You'll have a second to answer it. You know, when I was a kid, people that were my age were blowing up buildings. They were taking over. We took over all the buildings at UCLA. We changed everything on campus. We demanded things and insisted. The police came on campus. We said pigs off campus. I mean, what is there today that is different than what I just described? I mean, it sounds
respect.
To me. Sounds to me like America.
Respect. That's what's lost.
We didn't have respect.
We did have respect. We didn't have the violence that we do now with the shooting people, the
burning.
Well,
no. Well, that's because of the guns.
We had
sure.
fire hoses out there. We had personal rights were not so defined back then that you could get arrested for breaking wind nowadays. Back then, you suffered. The police would push you into the car, shove you into the car, throw you into the car. That kind of thing back then, when they didn't mess around. Now we got a bunch of great people with, how do I put it without sounding like a jerk? We have great people with misguided thoughts.
Yeah. So well, I will say this, because we got to run off the air here, but I will tell you that
Jewish people is wrong. Yeah. Hamas is not a religion. It's an ideology.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to say this.
This country is wrong.
Yeah. They never pushed me into a car. I got away every time. And as far as the other thing, with 1 minute to go, we can't do it. But I'd love to talk to you again sometimes. I really appreciate your calls. Really great.
I'd be glad to.
Okay, Greg. You have a great day.
You too, man.
And this is Showdown, of course, brought to you by the St. Louis Suit Company, Wendy's, and Jules on Hampton. And we're going to see you tomorrow with all kinds of new developments, I'm sure, out of New York. Stay tuned. See you then. Good night.